Welcome to Pit Cop Podcast. This is The Deep Dive, where we take a targeted look at core ideas from essential material you've shared with us. Our mission is always to extract those crucial nuggets of knowledge, you know, those insights that serve as a shortcut to being instantly well-informed. Today, we're not just summarizing a source, we're diving into a framework for reevaluating one of life's most constant battles.
And that battle for this deep dive is all about redefining wealth. We are exploring a really powerful perspective drawn from material provided by Pitcott. And it challenges that, you know, that deeply held assumption that happiness is an equation solved purely by financial accumulation. This discussion goes way beyond simple budgeting and really into existential fulfillment.
Okay, so let's unpack this central thesis. We're looking at content focused on shifting priorities, specifically away from that relentless pursuit of material stuff and more toward relational fulfillment. Mm. And Pitcott argues that while money is powerful, I mean, it's necessary for comfort, it can never, ever substitute for the emotional infrastructure that relationships provide.
That is such a critical distinction. Money buys ease, it buys options, and definitely comfort. It opens doors both professionally and, you know, literally. But as this framework points out, it fundamentally cannot provide that emotional stability or belonging or that genuine human warmth precisely when life inevitably gets heavy. That's the gap we're here to explore today.
And for anyone curious to dig deeper into these ideas, you know, shifting your perspective on what truly constitutes abundance, you can visit www.pitcott.com/books to download these bestseller ebooks that informed our discussion today. All right, let's jump into the core dilemma that Pitcott highlights. This idea of the empty promise of material abundance. It often shows up as the what they call the loneliness paradox.
Right.
How often do we see someone who has achieved every traditional metric of success, the huge house, luxury cars, the status, and yet they feel profoundly isolated?
It's a scenario that is shockingly common. And the material offers a very clear diagnosis for it. Your physical surroundings can be immense and luxurious, yeah. But the interior landscape of the person, that can remain totally desolate.
So you're sitting in a mansion feeling empty.
Exactly. Pitcott emphasizes that relationships, you know, the human bonds we forge, that is what keeps us warm when the world feels cold. Money simply cannot, as they put it, hug you when life gets heavy.
Yeah.
That capacity for unconditional emotional support is exclusively human.
And that immediately forces us to confront this cultural narrative we've all kind of internalized. We live in a society that relentlessly praises the hustle.
Oh, absolutely.
It rewards endless striving, often at the expense of family dinners, friendships, or just quiet moments of connection. The message is always acquire more, achieve more, and then you can rest and be happy.
And that constant drive leads us directly to Pitcott's powerful analogy, chasing money without, you know, simultaneously and intentionally nurturing your connections is like running on a treadmill.
That's a really powerful frame, but let's push on that a little bit. I mean, most people start hustling because they believe it's going to buy them time or security to spend with loved ones later on. Isn't that pursuit, at least at the start, understandable?
Oh, absolutely. The initial impulse isn't bad at all. Yep. I mean, security matters. But what this material illustrates so well is the trap of the shifting goalposts. You hit one financial milestone and immediately society or your own internal clock just demands the next one. You run faster, but you're still just chasing this illusion of satisfaction. It's what economists call hedonic adaptation.
Hedonic adaptation.
The new purchase, the new car, the promotion, it delivers this huge thrill, but within weeks or even days, it's just the new normal.
That resonates so deeply because I think everyone has been there. You get the thing you thought would change your life, only to feel bored or restless a few days later. The satisfaction is temporary. It's not sustaining. It's like pouring water into a leaky bucket.
Precisely. That is the definition of the material abundance trap. This continuous exchange of your time and your finite emotional energy for transactional comfort. Wealth provides comfortable logistics. It makes the physical parts of life easier. But that deep abiding sense of belonging and safety, mm-hmm. that relational wealth, that comes from someone holding your hand during a real storm. Or a friend who answers your call at 3 a.m. just because they know the sound of your voice. You can't buy that level of investment.
So the synthesis of this first section, then, is that comfort is a valuable commodity, for sure. But emotional fulfillment is the true necessity. And that necessity requires an investment of time and attention, that money. Well, it often distracts us from. So if the trap is chasing these temporary thrills, let's pivot. Let's look at the positive side that Pitcott offers. What defines the richness of connection? What are the moments that truly beat the temporary thrill of a shopping spree or a promotion?
Pitcott details these specific priceless moments. And what's so fascinating is just how simple they are. They're moments of absolute authenticity. I mean, think about the last time you laughed so hard with someone that your stomach genuinely hurt and you couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Or when someone remembered a tiny, maybe forgotten detail about you, a childhood story, a weird preference, a goal you'd quietly given up on.
I think that's the key right there. These moments aren't expensive. They're personal. They're confirmation that you are seen and known and validated as an individual, not just as a successful colleague or a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
The material emphasizes that these interactions are the ones that stay with us longer than cars, jewelry, or promotions ever will. They become a part of our identity.
They really do. They form what we might call our social capital. And they provide those foundational needs that material wealth just skips right over. Support, belonging, unconditional recognition. And it's often so subtle, the coffee chats, the quick texts, just checking in, or even a shared silence where no explanation is needed. These little interactions, they prevent that ache of disconnection from setting in.
And Pitcott calls these the anchor of shared experiences. Yeah. These aren't necessarily grand vacations. They are those specific, memorable snapshots that become like fixed points in a turbulent world.
Yeah, anchors.
An off-key birthday dinner, or sitting around a fire telling the same five stories you've told for 20 years, or just weathering a tough week together.
And when life throws its inevitable curveballs, a loss, a health crisis, a professional disappointment, those memories provide stability. They serve as those fixed points, reminding us who we are and that we have a supportive community. They're the scaffolding that holds us up. And if we ignore those seemingly mundane shared moments for the next big deal, that's when we face the hidden cost.
And what exactly is that hidden cost when relationships are neglected? We talked about isolation, but Pitcott gives it a name. The ache.
Yeah, the material details this. This devastating feeling of isolation that just lingers. It's an emotional vacuum that exists even when someone appears to have every status symbol imaginable, cars, exotic vacations, professional trophies, all of it. That ache is the disconnection. Pitcott warns that the longer it lingers, the heavier it becomes. It ends up outweighing all the material lightness that wealth might provide. It's the sense that you have people to call, but no one who truly gets you.
That ache is such a profound image because it describes a vacancy that no amount of consumption can fill. It's the psychic toll of treating people as secondary to productivity. We chase success thinking it'll attract connections, only to find that genuine connection requires vulnerability and dedicated time.
Which success often makes us less willing to give.
So let's shift into the constructive side here, the forging of bonds. Strong relationships, Pitcott explains, are not built instantly. They require a sustained, consistent effort.
Exactly.
The material makes it really clear that they are forged in shared struggles, laughter, forgiveness, and love.
Mm.
That sustained, consistent investment, the willingness to be present during the difficult phases, that is what makes the resulting relational wealth so resilient.
And Pitcott uses a powerful metaphor to describe this relational wealth. It said the bond is stronger than gold.
Mm-hmm.
And why stronger than gold? Because unlike money, which can be lost, you know, vanish in a recession or be stolen, relationships, if you properly care for them, actually grow richer with time. They compound, they appreciate in value as you age, and share more life experiences. It's an asset class that only increases with use. We're going to pause quickly here for just a moment to engage with you, the listener. If you love this deep dive and this kind of insightful analysis, please press the like button. It truly helps the recommendation algorithm so others can access this kind of information too. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to our channel and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. We do these deep dives regularly. And for those who want immediate access to more resources, you can always visit www.pitcott.com.
All right, let's get back to the practical application of this framework. The actionable steps Pitcott provides for shifting focus from chasing money to truly treasuring what matters. The material offers four powerful yet really simple steps.
And the strength of these steps is in their immediate demand for intentionality. The first one is to make time. And this means moving beyond the passive idea of finding time. It requires a fundamental active shift. You know, put down the phone, close the laptop, and give someone your full undivided attention. It's about prioritizing presence over productivity metrics, even for a short period.
Full attention has become a revolutionary act in our world, hasn't it? The second step is equally essential, and that is to say it. Don't assume your friends and family know you value them or love them. You have to speak it, and speak it often. Verbal affirmation is, it's like the lubrication of relational maintenance. It clears up assumptions and really solidifies bonds.
The third is maybe the most demanding. Show up. This means being present not just when it's easy and celebratory, like a birthday party, but especially when it's hard. Showing up means being there during a crisis, a difficult transition, or even just a boring, slow recovery. If you're there for the difficult parts, that connection is forged in fire. For example, offering to run errands for a friend dealing with an illness instead of just sending a text, that is showing up.
And finally, Pidcot encourages us to celebrate the small. We tend to wait for huge milestones, weddings, promotions, big holidays, but the source reminds us that ordinary days are often the most extraordinary when we pay attention to them. It means recognizing the daily grace and the small, consistent efforts people make. You know, celebrating a Tuesday night dinner or a minor win at work.
And if we connect all these steps, the overall picture demands an intentional rebalancing of our internal ledger. We have to allocate our most precious resources, our time, our attention, our emotional energy, into people with the same strategic diligence we apply to our financial accounts. That intentionality is the mechanism that generates true compounding wealth. So here's the ultimate lesson Pidcot offers. Possessions fade, titles lose their temporary shine, and yesterday's trophies just collect dust. They are, by their nature, ephemeral. But the bonds we build, those are the true, enduring measure of a life well-lived. They outlive us. They echo in the legacy of love we leave behind. That's the definition of generational enduring wealth.
That's the critical takeaway we wanted to leave you with today. It completely redefines what rich actually means. We all need comfort, of course. But ask yourself, is the love in your life outweighing the money in your account? That, according to this framework, is what makes a person truly rich in the only way that matters at the end of the day. It's a profound question to mull over as you go about your week. Thank you for being there with us for this deep dive into the compelling framework provided by Pidcot. If you want to explore more life-changing insights and actionable wisdom, you can find the best-selling ebooks we referenced today at www.pidcot.com/Pidcot.
And remember to subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And please check out all the resources available at www.pidcot.com.
Thank you for listening to the Pidcot podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.